around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Well, today is the day of the election. Sometime tonight, we're going to witness the election or the possibility of an election of a new president. As we have said repeatedly, we have not gotten a clear word from God about this election. I can't say. There are those who said Donald Trump will be elected. Appoint five Supreme Court justices. There are those that say that Hillary and Obama are going to co-reside as presidents for a parenthetical time, and then she'll be ultimately become the president. I've heard so many bizarre prophecies, and that's why the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 14:10, and there are, and it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. There are many, many voices in the world, and none of them, the Bible said, is without signification. None. Not one. Every voice that everyone hears plays a significance in your life. Whether it's a good voice, a bad voice, I don't know. But every voice plays a significance in your hearing. None of them is without signification, Paul the Apostle declared. That's why it's imperative that you are very careful, even who you let speak into your hearing concerning spiritual things. There are a lot of people that are just not qualified to speak, yet they take that august responsibility upon themselves. They're self-appointed. They're self-anointed. Before we get into the program, I want to remind you again, I'll be in Ellenboro, North Carolina, November the 18th, 19th, and 20th. I'll be there with my brother, a tremendous musician, a tremendous singer. My wife and I will be there at the East Rutherfordton Church of God. It's on 120 Top Avenue, Ellenboro, Ellenboro, right off of Bypass 74. We'll be there November the 18th, 19th, and 20th. I would love to see, especially some of you local people who listen to us in the Morganton, Lenore, Alexis area. We hear from you. We would love to see you and for you to be with us in service. I have no doubt whatsoever in my mind that God, through the Holy Ghost, will touch you and minister to you because, well, he cares so much for you, amen. And he wants you to be touched profusely. The two motels are the Holiday Inn in Forest City and Baymont Inn in Forest City. Holiday Inn is 1-877-859-5095. Baymont Inn and Suites is 1-844-663-2209. The nearest city, as I said, is Forest City, about 20 minutes away from the church. Again, the church is at 120 Top Avenue, Ellenboro, Ellenboro, North Carolina, 28040. We invite you to be with us. We'll have a new president, purportedly, tonight. Before I get back into yesterday's message, I want to encourage you with a song that simply says, I know a man who can. Jesus can do anything. Praise God. I know a man who can. His name is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He can do anything. We were talking yesterday about Samuel, his sons, how they turned aside after lucre, took bribes, perverted judgment. What a sad, horrible, tragic statement concerning leadership. 1 Samuel 8 and 3, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. What a sad statement. What a horrible statement. The word lucre there in the Hebrew means to plunder for the purpose of gain, dishonesty, and filthy profit. They profited through filth, dishonesty. By the time this message is aired today, this election will, for the most part, be over with. For the most part, my coming on the air at 5 p.m. and leaving at 6 p.m., for the most part, this election will be over with as far as voting. 8, 9 o'clock, they will make determinations purportedly now. I would not be surprised if God were to suffer an aberration that would be such a debacle. It would be sent to the Supreme Court justices, leave us in perpetual limbo for innumerable days without clarity. I pray to God, I am not prophesying. Moses said, I pray that they all prophesy. I pray to God, I'm not prophesying. But I mentioned on True News the weekend before Antonin Scalia was murdered, what would happen? What would happen if one of the Supreme Court justices, as himself, was taken off? We would be split 4 and 4 justices, liberal and conservative. I do not have fear of men. I fear God. I fear for the people of God and the people not of God. I fear because of God's judgment. I can see us in a state of limbo for months, which would in return invoke civil unrest, civil disobedience, innocent lives being destroyed. I can foresee looting, robbing, pillaging, plundering, burnings, and thousands of innocent lives killed. How can you see that? Because our politicians have turned aside after lucre and have taken bribes and perverted judgment. This may be the prophecy that I gave nearly 5 years ago as the Lord began to expound to me Proverbs chapter 1. I remember standing in the bathroom shaving, and the Spirit of God said, go to your office and sit down. I'm going to open up this chapter to you and reveal to you what is going to happen. I didn't know when. I don't know when. I think all you need to do is Google Pastor Lankford and prophecy, and it will come up. I don't even remember the name of it. Why am I saying that? Because Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? Something unfathomable, something unbelievable could happen in the next 24 to 48 hours or this week that would be so detrimental to the health and the survivability of this nation. I don't know what God will do. I said again, I wish I had a clear word from God. John Kilpatrick said Jezebel's going down. Mark Taylor said Donald Trump will be elected. Nobody wants a smoother transition of power from the electorate. The Electoral College, I pray for peace. Paul said, pray that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. Now, I know some, with all respect, they could care less about a quiet and a peaceable life. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayer, and intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. God is a God of peace. We do not want God to become a God of war. Exodus 15:3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. We do not want God to vent war on this nation. I know without a doubt, God is going to judge America just like he did Nineveh. But the good thing about Nineveh was Nineveh repented and was later on destroyed. They repented by the preaching of the man of God, Jonah. And they made it right. I want to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 8 and pick it back up in verse 7 where God said to Samuel, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me that I should not reign over them. We no longer want godliness in this nation. We've taken prayer out of the schools and brought condoms in the front door. City and county commissioners, as they convene and they pray, are being attacked and being sued because they want to open up a session of a commission meeting with prayer. It's happening here in North Carolina. In Rowan County, they're suing the commissioners because they want to pray before they start county business. And you got demon-possessed people who say, no, you can't do that. This shows you how deceived a nation is. I want godly influence in my life. I want God to be sovereign in my affairs. Because I want to tell you something today. God knows better than all of us what's best for us. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. You may be hateful and hate and show hatred toward God, but God knows what's best. And I declare unto you, God is going to give this nation the presidency that we deserve. Never underestimate this one element. God's will is going to be done today. God's will is going to be unequivocally wrought and brought forth today, according to Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. This is what God does. Don't think for a minute God is not involved in government. Look at the Egyptian, then the Assyrian, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Greece, Rome. One is yet to come. God is a God of government. God is a God of rules. He's a God of regulations. He's a God of dominion. He's a God of authority. Luke 1:33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. God is in government. Though government is corrupt as hell itself. Luke chapter 2. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Joseph was taxed. God told Israel, because you want a king, you're going to have taxation. Reading from 1 Samuel chapter 8, reading from verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people. I do not know of any other recorded time in the Word of God when God told the man of God, listen to the people. It's always been the reverse. People listen to the voice of God. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to the voice of God. But now God said, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. They don't want godly rule. They want anarchy, because that's what men will give you. I pray to God, Donald Trump is a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 45 with King Cyrus. This is the election of the 45th president. Wouldn't it be awesome if that was Donald Trump became the 45th president in the sense of Isaiah chapter 45, and that verse describes how God has anointed and chosen Cyrus to go back and lay the foundations of Jerusalem following the 70 years of Babylonian captivity? See, it was the Babylonian government that took them and seized Jerusalem, burned it down, destroyed it. God used that government. Let me tell you something, folks. Let me give you a word of encouragement. God can destroy the government and save the people. I've said this years ago. Some of you may remember this statement I made. I made this statement 8-10 years ago. What if God sent the Russians to nuke us, bomb us, blow us up, and say, we're delivering you from your government? What if China, the Chinese, nuked us, sent soldiers and troops on American soil, and delivered us, the American citizens, from our corrupt government? America has went all over the world and done the such. In the name of democracy, in the name of peace. We went in there and we took out Saddam Hussein. We hanged the man. What if God says, I'm going to let a foreign nation attack you, America, and deliver your citizens, your American citizens, you American people, from your tyrannical government. What if God said, I'm going to do that? And the government, the country, the nation, China, Russia, whoever God would might use, says, now I'm giving it back to you, the people, and we're just leaving. But we're tearing down Washington, D.C., and we're going to allow you to rebuild and start over again. That was what was supposed to have happened in Iraq. Remember, stupid Joe Biden? This will go down in history as one of Barack's greatest successes. But there'll be no success of that nature in the Islamic world because Islam is of the loins of Ishmael. He is a wild man, and his hand will be against every man. But poor old Uncle Joe Biden don't have any common sense about the scriptures. He knows nothing about the Word of God. He's not even a decent tither. They show his tax returns, and he doesn't even give anything. But he's a good old Catholic boy, but he never pays tithes. What if God did that? Listeners, what if God suffered a foreign nation to come in and take this government down because God took the Egyptian government down, let Israel go. He brought down the Babylonian government and let Israel leave under the Babylonian captivity and seizure. And the Medo-Persian Empire between Darius and King Cyrus came in and let them go free. And let them go back to Jerusalem and build the foundations of Jerusalem. That was the word of the Lord. Isaiah 44 and verse 28, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. This is what God said to Cyrus before he was ever born. He is my shepherd. Cyrus? God said, yes, he is my shepherd. Because in Jeremiah 29:11, he told Israel, my thoughts toward you were never evil, but to a good and an expected end. And they got to go back. Cyrus was instrumental. I've done a little bit of history study about Cyrus. He was the first one to start developing a such thing as a postal code, building roads, building bridges. And then when the Roman Empire came on the scene, they really accelerated that government, or that, I should say, infrastructure and government in that context. Even Rome had a Senate. So God's always allowed there to be government because the people have rejected theocracy. And the problem with democracy, or as, was it Franklin? Hamilton, I don't remember which gentleman said, you have a republic if you can keep it. This was in Philadelphia when they were trying to draw up the Constitution of the United States of America. He said, you have a republic, not a democracy, but a republic if you can keep it. Getting back to the scriptures, Samuel, they've not rejected you, son. They've rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, to do they also unto thee. They're going to do unto you. They're going to trample you under their feet. They're going to serve heathen pagan gods. You can preach truth. You can preach righteousness, Samuel, but they're going to discard it. I hope you do not discard the truth that I embrace, the truth that I preach. Now, therefore, hearken unto their voice. What a tragedy. The Greek says, obey their voice. or the Hebrew, I'm sorry. Obey their voice. Obey their voice, Samuel. My God, that's horrifying. Now therefore hearken, obey their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them. Solemnly protest, like Martin Luther against the Catholic Church. Protest. Luther protested. Therefore we have the word Protestants. Protestants. I am not a Catholic. I do not embrace the universal church. That is another lie. Out of the pits of hell, there's no such thing. It's the body of Christ. I'm not going to play semantics with you people who do not know. The word Catholic, Catholicism, means universal. There's only one body, there's only one church. That's Jesus Christ. I remember some lady writing me a letter because I mentioned Martin Luther, and she lambasted Martin Luther. He ran off with a woman and got married. Well, you know why? The Catholic Church says they forbid the priest to marry. And he was burning, so he got him a wife, so he wouldn't have to burn with sexual sinful lust. So she wanted to portray Martin Luther as some vile, wicked man because he turned on the Catholic Church. Forbidding to marry and abstaining from meats, Paul said, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Read it yourself, verses 5 and 6. Sure, you want to lambast the man because he said the Catholic Church is wrong. You cannot embrace Catholicism and be right with God. There's no co-redemptor. Anybody that prays to anybody other than Jesus Christ is a heretic. Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Whose name? Mary? John Paul? Ratzinger? No. John 14:13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You petition God the Father through the name of Jesus Christ, not Mary, or any other saint, or a statue. That's idolatry. Give me a break. Some man with their hands made an idol, and you're going to pray to that statue that a man made? Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Romans 1:28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Solemnly protest against them. Show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, Samuel said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. You're going to have a dictator, folks. Listen to what he says. Let me read on. 1 Samuel 8:12. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground. Now, the word ear there in the Hebrew means he will make them plow the soil and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. Has that not been fundamentally what most governments have turned to? We talk about a nuclear war race in the sense of racing to proliferate nuclear weapons. Well, God said, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots, he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. Confectionaries, that's called the apothecary. That's the actual word there, apothecary, which is to make compounds, to make perfumes, to make ointments, etc. He will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. Right of domain? Anybody ever lost property under the auspices of right of domain, where the government takes property for the betterment of the community? I saw a documentary of a man, I believe it was in the state of New Hampshire years ago on CBS. He had a large piece of property. Because of government domain, they took the property from him because somebody wanted it to build a manufacturing plant, and 15 years later, it's still sitting vacant. See, God told Samuel, listen, Samuel, hearken to their voice, but tell them this is what's going to happen to them. He will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. The government takes from us and establishes the largest employee of America is government. When you look at all the firemen, all the police officers, the judicial system, the tax offices, the health department, all of these issues and all of these government structures, God said, they're going to take it away from you, folks. There's not a person listening to me that doesn't have a bone to pick with the government over some issue, whether it's taxation, a building permit, a licensing permit. I mean, we have to go get a driver's license. We have to have a hunting license. We have to have a fishing license. We have to have a tag on our car. Some states, we have to get our cars inspected. We pay property taxes on our houses, property taxes on our land, property taxes on our cars. Taxation at the gas station, taxation at the restaurant, taxation when you go to buy clothes. Are you kidding me? This thing's out of control. God said, hearken. Hearken to the voice of the people. He will take the tenth of your seed. He'll take your vineyards. And he'll give them to his officers and to his servants. You and I, as taxed people, give so much to all of these other government institutions, and they live fat on the hog. Every person that works, and I'm not bashing, God bless you if you're a police officer. God bless you if you're a school teacher. God bless you if you're a custodian at a public school. God bless you. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. You have a far better pension program than any other person through the state and through the government because they look out for themselves and not the people. I'm not bashing anybody, so no one take me personally. If you work in a governmental office, I'm not attacking you. I'm not bashing you. I'm not criticizing you. I'm telling you what God said he would suffer because you do not want theocracy. You do not want me to be the God and Lord and Savior and give you what you really need. I'm going to give you somebody that will pillage and plunder you and take everything away from you. Obamacare was put under the auspices of the IRS. What's that health care got to do with taxation? Why not the Food and Drug Administration? Don't you understand this is about the mark of the beast? Don't you understand this is to destroy us? Don't you understand this is to control your lives? And God said, this is what's going to happen. He will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. Well, what does that mean? You ever heard of being drafted in the military? I mean, when I turned 18, I had to register. Thank God Nixon stopped the Vietnam War. I was 1H in high school, classified as 1H. As soon as I graduated, my new card said, you're 1A, buddy. They could have spun the little jug and pulled my number out and said, hey, you're going to war. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. We serve our tyrannical government every day. We go to work and we pay through the nostrils. Some of you listening to me, this is now making all the sense in the world to you. Some of you listening to me say, I still don't get it. They strip us. They rob. The greatest Ponzi scheme ever created was Social Security. It's robbing Peter and paying Paul. I'll be 62 February. I'm going to start drawing, bless God. I'm going to start getting every dime I can. I've paid and paid and paid through the nostrils. And yes, I will tithe on my Social Security check. I dare not rob God. Listen to what Samuel said, thus saith the Lord. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. Every one of us that gets up in the morning and goes to work pays and serves our government, and we pay through our nostrils. You cannot buy a loaf of bread without being taxed. Now they're taxing our power bills. Look at your telephone bill. Look at all the taxation, all of these so-called fees. They're not fees, they're taxes. They're taxes. They're taxes. Get it through your mind. This is taxation without representation. Taxes on my telephone bill. Taxes on my cable bill. Everywhere you turn, it's a tax. Draw interest on a savings account. That's called earned income. Tax it. I know preachers don't preach like this, but I'm just here to tell you the truth. You have a modest estate. When you die, tax it. You can't even die without being taxed. Now listen to the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel 8, verse 18. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Now, I want to say something here. Get mad. Don't waste your stamp and your time and castigate me. If you don't go and vote, listen to what God said. Ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. You're making a choice today, folks. I set before you death and life. Choose you this day life, that you and your seed might live. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. You're going to cry out, and God says, I'm not going to hear you. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of God. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice. This is the third time, perfection. Hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city. We're going to have a king, they said. God said, please don't. Please don't. God said, here is what your king is going to do to you. I just went through a litany of things that God said would happen because of whom you have chosen. Nay, but we will have a king over us. Doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter that God has told us the truth and that your king will tax you. He will draft your children in military. You will work. You will struggle. He will take everything you've got. God told Israel before they got a king what the king would do. How he would handle matters, what would happen to them as people. And yet, after hearing all of the sordid details of what the king would do to the people, but nay, we will have a king over us. You know, common sense says if somebody's telling you, if you do this, this and this and this and this and this is what's going to happen to you, and you still do it, you're an idiot. If someone says, if you drink what's in that glass, it will eat your tongue out, your lips will swell up, your larynx, your voice box will be so eaten up and corroded with this acidity, and then your esophagus, your lining, your stomach, and just gives you a litany of bad things that will happen to you if you drink what's in that glass, and you say, I don't care, I'm going to drink it anyway. You know what you'd say to that person? You're a fool. You're an idiot. I've just told you how detrimental that element is in that glass, and you're going to still drink it? Yeah, I'm thirsty. Wait a minute. I've got a cool glass of refreshing water here instead. No, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. No, I want this that's going to kill me. God says, wait a minute. I set before you life. I set before you death. Choose whom you will serve. Choose life, that you and your seed might live. You know what? I've come to the point, I don't understand people anymore. I really don't understand people hardly anymore. It's like there's no rationality, there's no common sense, there's no spirituality, there's no discernment, there's no love. It's all castigation. It's all trying to climb the ladder of success. People are self-appointing themselves as pastors and prophets and evangelists and apostles. They want this title, they want that title, they want... Paul said, be content with such things as ye have. You brought nothing into this world. It is certain you will carry nothing out. And the sad thing is, people just can't be content. You want to read some profound, wholesome teachings today before you go to bed tonight? Read 1 Timothy chapter 6. Read verses 3 through 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 3 through 10. If you want some healthy, godly admonition, teaching that will encourage and strengthen your hand, do that. Paul said, godliness with contentment is gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. No, we want a king, and God says, but this king that you're going to get, He's going to persecute you unbelievably. He's going to take everything away from you. You will become a servant to your government. I don't care. I want a king anyway. It's like going to a car repairman, and someone says, man, that guy knows nothing about cars. He'll mess your car up and make it worse than what it already is. You say, I'm taking it anyway. You take it anyway, he charges you $1,000. Then you've got to take it somewhere else for somebody that knows what they're doing to straighten it out. Now you have to pay $2,000. So you spent $3,000. And you're happy with that? That's okay with you? That's hunky-dory with you? That's cool? Now, do you see why I say I don't understand people? I don't say that in the context of I don't say that in the context of ever castigating or making you look ignorant or dumb. That has nothing to do with it. I'm challenging your spiritual intellectualism that, hey, we better start doing the right thing. This is all by design, folks. 8 years of an Islamic presidency has done irreparable damage that will never be corrected or fixed. It'll never be fixed. The damage is done. The seeds have been sown. I'm prophesying to you right now, the seeds of evil have been sown in this nation, and it is irreparable. The damage is irreparable, and we will never come from without being harmed. There's no way we're going to escape this now. The enemy has came and he has sown the seeds among the righteous. And he will be done with his dirty deeds and works and he will go his way. But the seeds have been planted. Hear me well. There will be other sordid satanic attacks on this nation. Many lives will be taken and ruined, as in San Bernardino, as in the gay nightclub in Florida. Why do I know this? Because while we spiritually slept and we elected a Muslim who said openly, I want to thank John McCain for not making my Muslim faith an issue. You elected him anyway. You put him in anyway. While you spiritually slept, he came in and he sowed the seeds among the righteous. He sowed the seeds in this nation, the seeds of rebellion, the seeds of lying, the seeds of distortion, the seeds of compromise, the seeds of same-sex marriage. He sowed the seeds, and when he's done, he will go his way. The only way to avert this is through national repentance on a nation, national scale. That is the only way to avoid this, is by national repentance. But I'm afraid we are beyond national repentance. I believe there will be repentance, but not nationally. It will be interesting tomorrow morning how the news headlines will read. It will be interesting. I mean, they're saying there are government insiders that are helping Assange on all these email leaks. There is those that are declaring that there were people working with Loretta Lynch who gave heads up to Hillary Clinton and John Podesta about the email scandal and what was. It's all there. It's all there. It's corrupt. But God said, you're going to serve your king. In other words, it will be tyrannical. It will not be loving. It will not be godly. It will not be righteous. It will be tyrannical. Are we not witnessing that? Are we not witnessing that? Father God, in the name of Jesus, as I close this broadcast this day, I pray for this nation. I know without a doubt you're going to give this nation what we deserve. Your will has already been executed. Your will has been done. For you have discerned every heart. You have discerned every person. You have discerned who and what they are. Nothing has been hidden from you. God, I ask you to forgive me personally. I ask you to forgive every listener personally of their sins. And I ask for the forgiveness of the sins of our nation and of our people. God, I know we ask all the time for mercy. But in your word you said in Lamentations chapter 2 that your mercies are renewed every day, every morning. God, I ask for the renewed mercies of God in the morning on this nation. Thank you for loving us. And more than anything, thank you for dying for us and saving us from our sins. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great evening. May God have mercy on us in the coming days.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.